This is a replay of the Tuesday night, February 6th, WGN show. We started right at 10. If you don't hear yourself on it, it's because you didn't call. I hope you'll rectify that soon. We're live Monday through Thursday evenings, and unless sports preempt us, that's from 10 to 1 Central. Dial 888-876-5593, my toll-free number from OneVoip. For the world's best customer service, it's OneVoip. Check them out at the number 1-VOIP.com. You'll be really glad you did.
Direct from the edge of the lunatic fringe, it's the Raleigh James Show.
I'm Raleigh James. We have 3 hours to spend together. God knows I've got 3 hours worth of tabloid trash to go over. But if you'd like to talk about anything else, well, the floor is open to you. All you have to do is call 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, you know, last night on Trivia, we were talking about the world's first television commercial aimed at a specific audience, and it was James on the South Side who actually guessed it. It was Cats. That was 1999. Whiskas Cats Food actually produced and aired a television commercial aimed at the felines themselves. Well, just as I was getting over that, Valentine's Day is coming up, you know. And actually, I've got a couple sponsors on my radio stations where we do commercials. And, you know, it's your basic roses or chocolate or jewelry or whatever. You know, the things you would expect. Well, how about this? With Valentine's Day approaching, consider a couple's coffin. What? Yeah. If you plan right, you don't need to take the phrase "till death do us part" to heart. Your bodies could spend eternity together. You gotta be kidding me. So, you wonder, firstly, is this even legal? Well, before I get to that, it's not new. Archaeologists exhumed a couple hugging skeletons in an ancient burial site in China from the Hui Dynasty, 386 to 534. And it was one of 600 found in an ancient cemetery unearthed at a construction site. Yeah, they were going to build something there, and it was whoops. And it was thought that the couple did live during the Northern Hui Dynasty. What's even more romantic, she still wears a plain silver band on her ring finger. Yeah, I don't imagine how she's looking other than bones based on the picture, but the ring survived. Then there was a famous couple burier in the Souders of Texas. That's Thomas and Mary Souder. They died in 1921, a little bit more recent. Their coffin photos, famous. They died within 48 hours of each other, dysentery, and they were buried together for eternity. So, what do you have to consider if you're going to do this for Valentine's Day? Well, firstly, hopefully it's way pre-need that you're not planning to use it this year, but having a large enough casket for two is not easily transportable, so you want to pick a cemetery that's fairly close to you. You might not be able to find a site big enough to bury the couple's coffin. That would depend on the individual cemetery, so you may want to check that first. Now, in some cases, it's only possible if you and your partner pass at essentially the same time. And I don't want to think what's involved in creating that. Now, if you and your partner pass at different times, well, reopening a casket, exhuming a body, that's not easy. Usually takes court orders and stuff like that. You could be buried alongside them or in a different coffin, but you want to climb right in. It may require a judge involved. But yes, you can, in most places, be buried with your partner in the same coffin, but the rules are you know, different. Now, what's interesting is you take a look at the patent office, the U.S. Patent Office, and sure enough, they have the tandem casket system with interconnecting passageway to accommodate the hand-holding of deceased persons. Yes, that's U.S. Patent 9770379B1, and apparently it's designed to include individual caskets placed side by side but interconnected by a passageway. If somebody in fact dies well before, I don't want to see how they're going to do that connecting, but there you have it. But so if you're looking for the unique Valentine's Day gift, maybe I found it, hopefully not. All right, and that wasn't even in a tabloid. So as usual, people behaving very badly, and we'll get to some of them. And other than that, we have animals in the news, of course, and more. But as I say, your calls will absolutely take precedence. And I just saw this headline, and I haven't vetted it. It's one of these that I hope it's not true, but apparently Toby Keith has died, 62 years old, died yesterday. Beer for My Horses, yeah, Made in America. And apparently this was on his X account. That's why I say I haven't vetted it. I assume it's for real. I'll tell you, the Solo Cup people should be paying them. Red Solo Cup had certainly sold probably a lot of cups as a big hit. And he had been diagnosed with stomach cancer in about a year and a half ago, I think June 2022. And apparently that ultimately is what led to his end. Well, what a shame. He had over 20 number one hits. How do you like me now? Yeah, I want to talk about me. Yeah, a lot of these songs were just you know, if not laugh out loud funny, certainly would make you smile. So I already picked out all the bumpers for tonight based on your requests mostly, but we'll certainly get to Toby Keith this week for sure. So 888-876-5593 right here on WGN Radio.
Oh, baby, I found heaven when I found you. And this heaven is something I don't wanna lose. I only know that if you ever say goodbye, I couldn't stand the pain. These eyes would cry like the rain, and the sun would have nowhere to shine, and the stars would all fall from the sky. Baby, please don't take away my heaven. Oh no, 'cause this world would stop turning.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Aaron Neville. They don't Take Away My Heaven. It was a CD single in 1993 on A&M, and it was James's request last night, right after he guessed the cat answer of the targeted commercial. I don't think anybody followed Whiska's lead, by the way. I think that is the only cat-oriented commercial so far. But then again, you never know. Marianne in Chicago, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, how are you?
All right, how about yourself?
Okay. You know, it was funny last night when I talked to you. I was thinking after I hung up, I should have said, I bet you James on the South Side calls and he'll get that answer.
And he did.
And sure enough, that was the next call, and he did.
Yes.
He never ceases to amaze me.
Yeah.
But I was calling in response to your story about people being buried together.
Yeah, it's being suggested as a Valentine's Day gift. I think for me, that would be the end of the relationship, actually.
But, I'd say, did you get a receipt? Because I want my money back.
Yeah, boy, I know. Next thing you know, they'll say, well, just take a nice cold bath and lay down quietly. No, thank you. But
here, can I put the hairdryer by you?
Yeah, boy.
But I have a story to tell you about that, because I have a friend who I met when I went to Aruba. She was married to an Aruban. Because they're at sea level, the caskets are all above ground.
In most places, like New Orleans, of course, but, you know, believe it or not, they're not in Miami.
Oh, no?
No, they're in the ground.
Well.
Yeah, but they certainly
Aruba,
are in New Orleans, yes.
But anyways, I forgot who died first, whether it was her mother-in-law or father-in-law.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the, you know, ceremony, put that person in the coffin, sealed it up. Then the other one passed away years later.
Okay.
And somebody took video of it. They had to go, and family members showed up dressed like in hazmat suits with big rubber gloves.
Oh, God.
Giant cans of bug spray.
No.
Yes, and they unsealed that casket. When they opened it, like 100 billion flies came out. So they're spraying. And after they got rid of all the flies, then they put the next body in there, closed it, and sealed it back up.
Yeah, Aruba, maybe. I don't know if there's any state in the nation that will let you do it quite that easily. God, I hope not. But, you know, when we think about some of the customs we have as human beings, it is a little strange. I remember years ago in Philadelphia, Northeast Philadelphia, I was walking by the river in by Bridesboro, if not that it mattered. But I looked over and there were all these great, you know, markers, headstones in the river. And they were just mostly broken up, but you could see where they had somebody's name on them and all this. And this was a long time ago, I think 1700s. But that's when I thought to myself, wait a minute, these things don't last forever. And I looked into this, and in many places, it's a relatively short period of time before, you know, they can remove you because there's a condo development. I mean, like 100 years or whatever, different in different places. But it doesn't sound like a comfortable hereafter to me.
No, I mean, you know, every culture has different ways of doing things. I mean, I thought I had heard that in Germany, you just rent that space.
Well, that's essentially what I'm saying. It's, you know, it can't be forever everywhere, or we would have run out of real estate.
Well, I don't know. I live near three cemeteries. I mean, close enough where I can throw a ball to one of them.
Right, but is there anybody in it from the 1700s or before?
Yeah, it's one of the oldest cemeteries in Chicago.
All right.
It has the victims of that ferry that went down at the dock in the Chicago River. Yeah, it's very old. And there's one whole section, but there is nothing there. It's just grass.
Huh. So.
And then back in the day when my mother and stepfather were alive, and they were new in the neighborhood, he's like, hey, come on, let's take a walk. She said he told her, let's take a walk. He found a she thought he said gasket store.
Oh, no.
So she thought they were going to a hardware store.
That's hilarious.
They got to the storefront with all these caskets, and she's like, what? He says, come on, let's go ahead and lay down, and we'll close the thing and see.
Oh, no, no, no.
And she's like, I'm going home. And she turned around and walked back home.
Yeah, right, right. New meaning to these are the times that try men's souls. Oh, my God. Yeah. Well, you know, again, you go to look at the, obviously, if you're going to be doing this, it's pre-need. If you need it at the time, you're not walking into the store. But so pre-need, you go and you look, and they tell you that it's yours forever. But then the cemetery is not guaranteed to be there 100 years, in some cases less. And so, you know, I don't know. It doesn't sound good to me.
Well, I don't know. I know the Rose Hill Cemetery, where my mother is, and Bohemian National Cemetery, right down the street here, are really, really, really old cemeteries.
Well, and if there's people who have been buried there recently, obviously they're going to continue to be cemeteries. But
yeah,
if it's a situation where nobody's been buried in it since 1800, man, I'm telling you, it won't be long before up she comes.
No, there's always cars piling in and out of these cemeteries here. As a matter of fact, the one two houses away from me, it's like a non-denomination cemetery. You've got Jewish, you've got American, you've got the Maharachi bands out there whenever they bury a Mexican person, and it's kind of nice to sit out here and listen to the music sometimes.
Oh, lovely, lovely. All right, well, good deal. Good to hear from you. Thanks, Marianne.
Okay.
Appreciate
and James, keep up the good work.
Absolutely. All right, all those wonderful links.
We need to play a song for Scotty.
Not tonight, actually.
Although
this next one I know was a favorite of his. So I'm not playing
okay,
it especially
well, maybe
for him,
in the next couple days or something.
Oh, guaranteed. But I know that he loved the next one, so he'll hear that. All right, thanks. Appreciate it.
Okay, bye.
All right, so 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, some countries, of course, I think they no longer will allow in-ground burials. I'm not 100% sure about that, but I think I've read somewhere that some will not. But in America, graves are rarely, if ever, reused or anything like that. And there's a lot of real estate. But depending on where the cemetery is, and if nobody's been buried in it for over 100 years and it looks ripe for condo development, so to speak, yeah, watch out. Yeah, so 888-876-5593. I have heard that it comes up in the UK fairly often because now there are cemeteries, you know, the old churchyards where people would be buried behind the church and things of this nature. And now, apparently, some of those are, you know, up she comes. So 888-876-5593-8888. Raleigh, by the way, I know what they do with some of the gravestones because, you know, I saw them in the river. I don't know what they do with the remains. Something tells me I don't want to. James is in Oregon. All right, James. I was thinking about you earlier. I was reading Kim Fahey's book, Unlisted, and it is such a delightful read.
Yeah, so, yeah, it is a good book.
Yeah, thanks for suggesting it.
He's a crazy guy.
Is he? He's not still with us, is he?
I hope so. He's younger than me, so.
Oh, really? All right. Well, if anybody wasn't listening when you told me to get this, the book is called Unlisted, and he was a phone guy in L.A., in Hollywood, and the book is all about his experiences, and they are just hilarious.
Yeah, they are, yeah. Yeah, and he's just a funny guy like that, but I just worked with him for a short while because I used to work, when I moved to California, I worked out in the San Fernando Valley, and he was downtown in the downtown area, Hollywood area, and then around, you know, doing AT&T divestiture and all that, as they were laying off every 6 months, I finally got bumped out of the San Fernando Valley, and so I had to go somewhere, so I picked downtown, and downtown L.A., and then that's, we became friends down there like that and worked together. Two different personalities, but we're good friends. We, you know, we work together good and stuff like that. And
yeah,
like that. But yeah, he's a good. He's a good read. I wish you could have got onto that website though, because I think if I recall, there was one website where a guy I'd do it and I'd get in there and I'd get the same thing you were getting, where is it no longer valid. But
right.
Then I retyped it in a different way. I did a different space or something like that. I was told to do it, and I got into it, and I did see it. So and if you want to play around with that, then you can do that, and you might get his website. But I'm not suggesting you do that. You know, you got other things to do.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you know, like talk to you and find out what's going on in the news, which is what I'm going to do right now.
Yeah,
so,
that's right.
We'll
that's
talk
right.
to you later.
But,
what?
Yeah, well, I was just going to say that about Toby Keith. It was confirmed that he did pass away.
Yeah,
and on the Grand Ole Opry tonight, they acknowledged it and stuff like that.
Yeah, so. I was afraid that. You know, those are ones where I don't want it to be true, but, you know, I knew he'd been ill. So it's a loss. Yeah. He was just terrific. He made the format better. His songs always made me smile.
Yeah, I was surprised. I didn't know he had cancer. They said he had stomach cancer?
Yes, so. Yes. It was diagnosed in June of 2022. He announced it.
Uh-huh. Oh, wow. Yeah. Yeah, I didn't know that. So I was a little surprised when I heard he passed away.
Yeah, yeah, just young, obviously. All right, good deal. Oh, yeah. Thank you for calling.
All right. Okay, so bye.
Find out what's going on in the world at large on WGN Radio.
How your boss is a jerk. We talk about your church and your head when it hurts. We talk about the troubles you've been having with your brother, about your daddy and your mother and your crazy ex-lover. We talk about your friends and the places that you've been. We talk about your skin and the dimples on your chin, the polish on your toes and the run in your hose. And God knows we're gonna talk about your clothes. You know talking about you makes me smile. But every once in a while I want to talk about me, want to talk about I, want to talk about number one. Oh my, me, my, what I think, what I like, what I know, what I want, what I see. I like talking about you, 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 usually. But occasionally, I want to talk about me. I want to talk about me. We talk about your dreams and we talk about your schemes, your high school team and your moisturizer cream. We talk about your Nana up in Muncie, Indiana. We talk about your grandma down in Alabama. We talk about your guys of every shape and size, the ones that you despise and the ones you idolize. We talk about your heart, about your brains and your smarts and your medical charts and when you start. You know talking about you makes me grin.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yeah, I want to talk about me. Toby Keith, number one for 5 weeks in 2001. He didn't write it. Bobby Braddock wrote it. Kind of tell that if you're familiar with Bobby Braddock, but still a great Toby Keith record. And he did write How Do You Like Me Now, so maybe we'll play that. And no, that wasn't the one that I was going to play for Scotty. That was the Drifters' Honey Love, and we'll get to that, no doubt. But Toby Keith, more pressing at the moment. So we will talk a bit about him tonight. But yeah, I think he had like close to 68 Billboard Hot 100 chart records and countless number ones. I mean, this guy was unbelievable as far as chart action. And mention want to talk about me. Well, in 2001, he was the CMA Male Vocalist of the Year and absolutely deserved it. Yeah. As Good As I Once was his biggest hit, and then followed by Beer From a Horses, of course. 888-876-5593, 888-88-RALEIGH. Kathy is in Linton, Indiana. Hey, Kathy. Thanks for calling WGN.
Hi, Raleigh. Thank you. Rest in peace, Toby Keith.
Yeah.
Yeah. I had a request for a song. I did not know that anyone but the Temptations recorded this. Smiling Faces... Sometime.
Well, the Undisputed Truth. The Undisputed Truth had the hit.
By the Undisputed Truth. That's the one I'd like to hear.
Yeah, that they had the hit.
Yeah, that's what I read.
Yeah, not the Temptations. So sure, the Undisputed Truth. You've never heard that? Of course you have. If you have heard it on the radio, that's the version.
Right,
you heard.
I only heard. Okay, I thought I had heard the Temptations version, but I did not know about the Undisputed Truth.
Well, like I say,
I know I could find it from you.
Yeah, they had the hit. So, like I say, you heard that song on the radio. I guarantee you heard Undisputed Truth.
Wow.
Yeah, and that, by the way, is a medley of their hit.
Okay.
unfortunately, and they were also a Motown group. They were on Gordy in 1971, and Barrett Strong actually wrote that with Norman Whitfield. In fact, I thought about playing that last night when I was doing artists who wrote songs for other acts. But then I thought, well, everybody knows the Undisputed Truth. I can't do that. But yeah, Smiling Faces. I'll be happy to play that for you.
Norman Whitfield wanted them to record it.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I have sort of a real love-hate relationship with him because I hated that psychedelic crap. But some of his other stuff was just absolutely wonderful. So I'll give him that.
Great.
But, yeah, I'll be happy to. I'll play it next. And you'll have to let me know when you hear it. As I say, it's going to be the one you say, oh, yeah, that's the one they played on the radio all the time.
Excellent. Thank you.
My pleasure. Thanks for calling.
Bye-bye.
All right. So, yeah, we will be happy to do that. Undisputed truth. Yeah. All right. So what does Donna in Oak Lawn have to say for her bad self? Hello, Donna.
Hi, Raleigh. I have three cemetery stories that are more than a little strange. Cemetery stories usually are. The first one is just north of the Chicago Historical Society in Lincoln Park proper, right before you get to the Lincoln Park Zoo. There is a tomb that was placed in the area before it was Lincoln Park. It was a cemetery. And they managed to move all the other bodies and remains out from that area. But the tomb was too heavy for them to move, so they left it there.
Wow. I love it.
So that one's just sitting there. When O'Hare Airport was being built, one part of O'Hare Airport can't be built any further because it would intrude into a cemetery.
Interesting that they won. In some airports, the cemetery goes. Of course, it depends, again, what the newest body is in the cemetery. If it's within the last 100 years, the cemetery is going to win. But if it's something that's ancient, you know, like the last body came in 1750, all I can tell you is take off. You will not win that.
And finally, my third story for cemeteries, when the Eisenhower Expressway was being built, part of the land over by Hillside was a cemetery, and all of the workers who were working had to move the graves, and they all had to have lots and lots of shots because they couldn't tell if any of the people had died of typhus.
Oh, lovely.
Or the influenza from 1918. So they had shots upon shots.
I hope to God there was a union that got them some hazard pay for that, because if it was me, I'd be saying, I'm sorry, there's not enough money minted to make me do this.
All I know is that my uncle owned the only bar in Hillside.
Yeah.
And he got lots of people in after they were moving the grave.
I would think so. Yeah, better living through chemistry,
happy that
yes.
There was at least one bar in Hillside that serves a liquor.
Oh, man. All right. Well, good deal. Thanks for the stories. I appreciate it.
You take care.
Yeah.
And have a cheerful night.
You too. Yes, absolutely. I forget who it was, but someone in my past, and I cannot remember who it was. It was Guy, and he was on a first date with a girl. This is absolutely true, and I can't. It's a radio guy, obviously, but I can't remember who it was. But anyway, she said, I've got the perfect place for a picnic, and she took him to a cemetery. I am not making that up. And was there a second date? And hell no. But I can see his face, and I just can't remember. But anyway, 888-876-5593 is 8888-RALEIGH. Well, I know if you listen to the show that you are a radio lover, and if you are a radio lover, you know all about Bob Crane. Do you have a copy of the catalog? Well, you can go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com, and you will see products that are just better. This started many years ago, decades ago now, when Bob Crane was, like the rest of us, complaining about the horrible reception that radios being built had. You know, AM was lousy, FM wasn't that great, and he said, I can do better. And boy, did he. Every radio that Bob Crane has developed just has superior reception. But not only that, there's so many things from which to choose that they have a number of other features too. And one of them technically isn't a radio, but oh man, you can listen to over 30,000 stations. And that's the CC Wi-Fi 3 Internet Radio with SkyTune. And it is just remarkable. You know, I always say that all of Bob Crane's products have better reception. And that's true with the Wi-Fi. Oh, you're not going to pick up radio stations, but no matter how paltry your wireless router is, wherever your wireless access point is, it won't matter. This radio will connect to it. It's just better. But it's got great sound. Yeah, right now if you're listening to streams, say on your smartphone, oh man, this will leave that in the dust clearly. But the best part is, as long as you have a wireless access point, some type of Wi-Fi router in your house, that's all you need. And if you don't have a Wi-Fi radio because you've been saying, oh man, it sounds really complicated, this is the Wi-Fi radio for you because it's easy. Absolutely easy. You don't sign up for an app. There's no microphone. There's no ads on the screen. There's no monthly fee. It's got a full-size remote control, too, and it is easy to use. Now, by the way, if for some reason you ever find out that, well, it's not, you got a problem, they've got the world's best customer service, and they'll help you no matter what. But I don't think you're going to need them. And it's got Bluetooth, and it's got an alarm and a sleep timer. 100 presets. Isn't that nice? Oh, by the way, you'll fill them up. With over 30,000 radio stations, you'll fill them up. Go to ccradio.com anytime, ccradio.com. Look at the CC Wi-Fi 3, and I think you're going to see exactly what I'm talking about. But if you can't go online for some reason, give them a call. 800-522-8863. 800-522-TUNE. Call them anytime. World's best customer service. They'll also send you out a hard copy of the catalog, which is nice to have. But if you can go online, you'll see what I mean right now. ccradio.com. And while you're there, sign up for the exclusive Secret newsletter. They won't spam you, but you'll be the first to know about exclusive offers, which is really nice. And I think that I think you're going to like it. Yeah, the only problem is, oh man, you'll find so much to hear you won't even want to leave the room. So the CC Wi-Fi 3 from the Sea Crane Company, you tell them Raleigh sent you on WGN Radio.
Of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling.
Now, wait a minute. I'm very upset about that record, actually, because I often say when I don't have the original 45 on this computer, it drives me crazy. And I said, as soon as you hear it, you're going to recognize hearing it on the radio. But the problem is, not with that, you're not. So let me see if I can't find the original here, because, these are the things that matter. Let's get down to it. Then we'll talk to Lisa in Dundee, and there's room for you, too. But I want the 45 version of the Undisputed Truth so that it will be recognizable. All right. Let's see. I should have these in order. Yeah, I should have a lot of things, but that's not life. All right. So let's see. And how can I tell? That's the other thing. I'm looking at this saying, oh my God, I want you to hear the original 45, but I don't have them labeled that way. All right. Well, let's try this and hope. Yeah, I don't know.
Smiling faces sometimes pretend to be your friend. Smiling faces show no traces. That lurks within. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof.
That's the album version, but nonetheless, I will find that 45, but I won't put you through it. That's the second album by the Undisputed Truth, 1971, on Gordy, and it was an interesting album, actually. It had a nice version of California Soul and several other things as well. But so yeah, I'll find it just to satisfy myself anyway. But I know. One of these days I'll actually label the files, right? Of course, I'll probably be in the grave we've been talking about before that, but we'll see. 888-876-5593 is 8888 Raleigh. And Lisa is in Dundee. What's going on, Lisa?
Hey, Raleigh. I have a 45 of Undisputed Truth.
Oh, yeah, I do too. Absolutely.
But it's actually an LP that you just play on the 45 speed.
Oh.
And it's a disco.
Oh. Well, no, I don't. That's the extended version. No, I don't want the extended version of that. That's for sure. All right.
Oh, golly. Well, you know, somebody mentioned, I think last week, one of your listeners mentioned Peace of My Heart.
Yeah.
Which is one of my favorite songs.
Yeah, Burt Burns wrote it.
I'm partial to the Brooklyn Bridge version.
Yeah, well, there's many versions of that. Like I say, Burt Burns wrote it. And
who was it that sang it? Because it was like,
well, most people think it's Janis Joplin, the one that they remember.
Oh, I know, because I learned so much from you that I researched it, and I said original singer of Peace of My Heart, and it came up with this woman I never even heard of. So
yeah.
I knew it wasn't.
No,
before.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it was, like I say, Burt Burns wrote it, and I'm trying to think of for who.
I thought her first name was Etta, but maybe it wasn't.
Irma Franklin, I think.
Oh, that could be.
I think. But let me see, because I'll see what I've got on this computer, and it's going to tell me, probably. But
I know the Brooklyn Bridge version.
Yeah,
is
I'm pretty
good,
sure Irma Franklin. And it was actually came out in 67, and Burt Burns wrote it under the pseudonym Burt Russell, and he wrote it with Jerry Ragavoy. And a number of people had this out, including Betty LeVette. But the original was Irma Franklin. Now, is this on here? All right. Yeah, it is. All right. Now, hopefully I put a 45 on this. Oh, man. I did this so many years ago that it's just ridiculous. But here we go. Yeah. So that's the original from 67.
That's so much better than Janis Joplin.
Well, yeah. Well, Big Brother and the Holding Company had the definitive version, and that came out like a year later. And then Dusty Springfield and Marmalade, Delaney and Bonnie, Brooklyn Bridge. Oh, my God, Eddie Floyd did a version. You don't want to hear it. Maxine Brown.
I don't think Brooklyn Bridge had a hit with it, though.
No, they didn't. They didn't, but they released...
Yeah, because I just found it on their album with...
No. They released
the other one that they made famous.
Right. They released it. Yeah, a worst that could happen. They released
the worst that could happen. Right.
Worst. They released it as a single, as far as that goes. Believe it or not, they did. But it didn't hit. Is the problem? And that was like March of '69. I'm trying to remember, but around that time. But yeah, it came out as a single by them. So
it's,
yeah,
it's sad to me that some of these people sing it so much better, the original people, but they're not the ones that made the hits.
Oh, very often, very often. Like
it seems like it from just listening to your show.
Yeah, I played that Dee Dee Warwick, the original version. It's terrible to say in Chicago, where, of course, the very big hit version, obviously, on VJ of You're No Good is Betty Everett. But I thought the Dee Dee Warwick version just left her in the dust.
Yeah. Well, it's just like this song, Anna, which...
Oh, Arthur Alexander. Arthur Alexander,
yeah, I never... Scotty was one of those that wanted to hear that by...
Arthur Alexander.
The original guy. Yeah, Arthur Alexander. Yeah. I always thought it was written by the Beatles.
What?
That's the only other version I heard.
Oh, please. You thought they wrote...
I know.
You thought they wrote Boys,
you know,
too? Yeah, no.
No.
Didn't write
but
that
I did,
either.
You know, I did think most of their stuff was written by them, and now I'm realizing that it really isn't.
Oh, the early days of the Beatles, they were fascinated by covering American R&B. And
yes.
There, you know, when you're talking about like the album that VJ had, of course, you know, was left over from the contract that they had from them that Capitol forgot to recollect. And so they took what they could and put it on Introducing the Beatles. But a lot of that was just R&B.
Yeah.
So,
true.
Sure. And Meet the Beatles had a lot of that, too. And before that, you know, there was their earlier stuff was very much influenced by R&B. But, you know, when I think about, that Introducing the Beatles, Anna, Chains, you know, that's a Carole mm-hmm. King, Jerry, Boys,
yeah.
You know, which, by the way, I never understood why they didn't change it to Girls. Because when Ringo's banging on his drum set talking about Boys, I'm saying, well, what is this? And, you know, Baby, It's You was on that
Nobody
album.
Nobody could hear anything anyway. The girls yeah. were screaming.
Well, there is that. But yeah, Twist and Shout, that's another one that Burt Burns wrote.
Right.
So yeah, Taste of Honey. There was a lot of thing on more that they didn't write on that album than that they did write.
Yeah.
So
isn't that something?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I just wanted to bring that up and thank you for acknowledging Toby Keith. I absolutely loved him.
And I'll play something else by him. I thought he was great too because he made me smile. I thought his stuff was funny.
Well, absolutely. And he had some serious stuff too that I quite liked, you know. And only 62 years old. It's just
I know. Born in 1961. Yeah. Yeah, I look at that and say, my God, I have clothes older than he was.
No, I know. When somebody is younger than you are, you think, oh.
Yeah. Well, I have to play How Do You Like Me Now? Because that was sort of his breakthrough record in 99.
Yeah,
so
that sounds great.
All right. Thanks. Appreciate
it. Take
right.
care.
Oh, yeah.
Bye.
He was just tremendous. And, you know, I realize some people who aren't country music fans are probably saying who, but I think even if you've ever kind of dialed by a country station, you probably heard some Toby Keith in the last 25 years as well. He started on the oil industry and wound up unemployed. And, then was playing football and all that kind of stuff. He was in a farm team and tried out for bigger and didn't make it and all that. So you know, coming into music was almost, you know, a secondary thing as far as that goes. I think a flight attendant gave someone one of his demos or something. That was the Cinderella story for him. But we'll get to Stacy from Algonquin. She's got some requests as well. And I'll find the Undisputed Truth single, yeah, one way or another, because I've got like 14 versions of it here, and I'm sure one of them's got to be the single. Please tell me it is. All right. Talk about the things that don't matter, but it's fun anyway. So we will pick it up right there. We have two more hours to talk to you. I hope you'll call 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Of the evil that lurks within.
Can you dig it?
Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces tell lies, and I got proof. Oh Lord, yeah.
GN Radio. I'm Holly James. Well, there it is. That's the 45 version. That does drive me crazy because increasingly, you know, the few oldie stations that are left, you'll hear them play something. You'll say, wait a minute, that's some CD remix or some album cut or something. It's got to be the original 45 or it doesn't count. But that was Smiling Faces. Sometimes the Undisputed Truth on Gordy, 1971. Got to number 2 on the R&B charts and number 3 on the pop charts. And that is the definitive version, though the Temptations did record it first, but not as a 45 RPM. So, and that happened very often at in Motown. In fact, some of the other Motown acts recorded it as well. But the Undisputed Truth had the hit. And they went through a lot of members. In fact, the other group that Norman Whitfield worked with was Rose Royce, and some of the members were interchangeable. But yeah. All right, so 888-876-5593 is 8888-Raleigh. Stacy is in Algonquin. How's it going tonight, Stacy?
Hi, Raleigh. How are you feeling?
Well, I'm here and can't complain. Yeah, I'm sitting erect, so I guess that's something.
No, that's good. No, it's sad about Toby Keith.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And he grew up in Fort Smith, Arkansas, so he had an interesting childhood, to say the least. Coach, Fort Smith is an interesting little city. So, yeah, he had his own record label after a while in Nashville and did very well. But as I mentioned, by 2022, he was doing chemo and radiation and surgery and sadly died in his sleep yesterday.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, what a shame.
But anyway, I wanted to, did you play one of my requests yet?
I don't know. I forget what they are. What are they?
Oh, one was Tina Turner, one was Smokey Robinson.
Yeah, yes, absolutely. I played, I played both of them, including Smokey in Spanish.
You did?
Yes, I played a few Smokies for you, and I definitely played some Tinas.
And I missed it?
Well, apparently so. I don't know what to say.
Oh my God!
Yeah, if you go to Raleigh.net, you can always see what I played. It's up there every day. So now let me see when I played it. I can tell you if I look back myself. And but yeah, the one in Spanish was fairly recently because someone else had said play Smokey in Spanish. I thought, oh well, that'll kill two birds with one stone. And you know, let's see, when did I do that? All right, fine. All right. Aquí Contigo, I played Thursday, February 1st as the first record, 1987, Motown. And then I played Being With You, 1980, on Tamla. What else did I play? Let's see. Well, that was older. I did, but that's older. All right, well, so there's a couple, if you can want, yes, but that was, but so I'll play another Smokey, because I like Smokey Robinson, and I'll play some of my favorite, maybe Ever Had a Dream. I think that's probably my all-time favorite Smokey.
Okay, I don't know, sometimes... I fall asleep and I don't know it.
No, sleep takes precedence, but I'll play Ever Had a Dream next. I used to always say that Ooh Baby Baby was my all-time favorite Smokey, and maybe it still is, but Ever Had a Dream would be tied with it. And you've probably never even heard it.
Oh, so. That sounds good. I'm sorry, Raleigh.
No, that's
fine.
Gosh. That's fine. And as far as Tina Turner, let's see what I played for Tina. Let's see, that's older. Let's get 14 different records, but that's over a period of time. So let's see. Private Dancer. Played that.
Oh, great.
Yeah. Well, except you didn't hear it. A Fool in Love. You didn't hear that either. So I don't know. Maybe you'll get some more Tina, but you'll definitely get Smokey next.
Okay. I think I heard some of the Tinas, though.
Okay, good. Well, that's something. That's a start. All right. Well, you'll have to tell me how you like this Ever Had a Dream, the Smokey record that almost nobody knows, but it's my favorite. And also, I know you always like to know, this Friday, 4:59 p.m., a minute before 5 p.m., it is the new moon.
Okay, 4:59 p.m. Okay, got it.
All right.
I'm ready.
Good deal.
Thank you, Raleigh.
My pleasure. Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
All right. So 888-876-5593. We'll get to Fran and Austin, but going to get to Smokey in moments. Yeah, Ever Had a Dream. I think that's the one coming up on WGN Radio. Radio. I'm Raleigh James. Ever Had a Dream is a flip side, 1979. The A-side was Cruisin'. And Smokey Robinson wrote that with Janie Bradford. And yeah, that and Ooh Baby Baby, I think, are my all-time two favorite Smokey Robinson records. So happy to play that. All right, so 888-876-5593-8888, Raleigh. Fran and Austin, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh, I like that song. I never heard that one.
Yeah, almost nobody has, I guess because they never flipped Cruisin'. But, man, when I heard it, I said, oh, that's the record.
Yeah, I really like that. And I would agree, Ooh Baby Baby was my favorite before that one.
Yeah, me too.
But now that I've heard that one, man, I love that. I got to go find it.
Oh, you will. It's easy.
Yeah. So, and I like that that version of Peace of My Heart.
Irma Franklin.
I might get be drummed out of Austin, but anyway, I am not a big Janis Joplin fan. So
that's to your credit. It really is to your credit.
And so, you know, of course, that's the only version. But one night, like one of these wonderful nights at 3 o'clock in the morning, when you're listening to some station that plays a whole bunch of stuff that you've never heard, and you're mm-hmm. just, you know, glued to the radio, you're not going to sleep, and you know it, that's okay.
Right.
You know, one of those kind of things, and I heard that, and I had not heard it since, and, you know, I would love to find out who that was and hear that again. So who is that again?
Irma Franklin.
Irma Franklin.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, and that's Aretha's sister.
Okay, yeah, I was wondering if that, yeah, because yeah, I've heard that name before. Okay,
of
yeah.
Of course. And she's most famous for the original version of A Piece of My Heart. And she was nominated for a Grammy for that. And then nobody heard it, but she was. And the next year, Big Brother and the holding company came out with it, with Janis Joplin on lead, of course. And yeah, Irma was a little bit older than Aretha. So,
okay.
Yeah, she died. It's been at least 20 years now. And, you know, another case like Aretha, where she, you know, grew up in the church where her daddy was the reverend. And, mm-hmm. You know, that was the deal. And so, but there are other things that she sang, but probably most famous for that. But the interesting thing is, in the UK, her version is what was on a Levi's commercial.
So, wow.
Yeah, she probably didn't get a dime. And, of course, Burt Burns isn't alive. But, you know, that's the deal. But yeah, she never left Detroit. She worked at a community center for homeless and disadvantaged, and I think died of cancer. But it's been at least 20 years.
Wow, it's just too bad that, you know, the version everybody knows is, you know, including myself, except for the one night when I happened to hear it and I didn't get a chance to call. You know, by the time I had a chance to call and ask the jock, you know, what it was that he played, because I was waiting for it to come back around, or, you know, waiting for him to back announce it. And
it,
you know, I just missed it.
You know, it charted. And
it did?
Yes, it charted, and I don't. It didn't chart well on the pop charts, but it did. But I'm pretty sure it was top 10 on the R&B charts. But let me look this up. Let's see. But I'm pretty sure it was. It did chart, but like I say, not a lot of pop play. Let's see. Come on, Irma. Come to me, Irma. Oh, here you are. Yeah. Peace of My Heart, number 10 on the R&B charts, number 62 on the pop charts. Yeah.
Huh. I'm surprised I didn't hear it, because I did listen to, you know, soul stations and stuff.
You might have even heard the flip side, because it got some play on, it never charted or anything, but it got play on the R&B charts, Baby What You Want Me to Do.
Oh, I've heard that one. Yeah.
Yeah. So, the A-side was Peace of My Heart.
Oh, right. Yeah. So, and then I'm glad you found the 45.
Oh, I know.
Undisputed Truth. Because it reminded me, because when you first played it, I said, no,
yeah,
that's
right.
The one I heard.
No, exactly no, not. No, the, no, exactly.
That's the one I heard. And then when you found it, I said, no, that was not the one I heard.
Yeah.
But that made me think that, you know, people are hearing stuff now, and, you know, I'm screaming because I'm hearing it on Apple Music or various other things, and I'm going, okay, you know, that's the song I want, but it's not the version I want, and, you know, people, of course, if that's all they know, that's all they know, and they're missing out on a lot. Although, I guess in a way they're happier because they don't know. It's like they think that's the original, the one they hear all the time.
Well, it's all it is all they know. But it bothers me tremendously. And there actually was a one of the oldies hosts, Mike Harvey, Super Gold.
And
he got lazy somewhere along the way, and he started playing things that were clearly from CDs, and they weren't the original versions. And I remember he was the guy who broke Love Can Make You Happy by Mercy in Miami. They were a Tampa group. And he played a version that was not the original 45, and I damn near came through the radio to get this man. It was like, how dare you?
Yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. And you know, I don't know if it was laziness or what, and Dick Bartley to a degree also, but Bartley's problem was Bartley wanted a stereo version of everything. All I wanted was the original 45 mix, and I'll never forget
it. I didn't care for his show. Well, I did not, you know.
It was a polished show, and it did very well. It had a ton of affiliates, and he is a wonderful guy, so I have nothing but good things to say about him. But he and I would disagree. He wanted all these stereo versions, and I'll never forget, he was so thrilled he got a stereo version of Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead by the Fifth Estate. And I couldn't imagine being excited about any version of Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, let alone a stereo version. But yeah, he wanted clean copies of everything. And me, I just wanted the original 45 mix. I hoped it wasn't on styrene, and I hope it wasn't the last pressing before they changed the plates, but I take whatever I got.
Right. That's weird. I think I remember the 45 I had of Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, and yes, I did have that 45, I admit.
Well, you were probably a child at the time. I mean...
Yeah, I was.
Yeah, see, that's okay.
And, you know, I sang that thinking of some of my least favorite teachers, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, the Fifth Estate. And if people who don't remember Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, oh, I've got it right here.
Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead. Witch on Witch, the Wicked Witch. Ding Dong, the Wicked Witch is Dead.
Yeah, that's what basically made me leave radio for a while, records like that. I said, I can't take this anymore. I'll just go promote country artists because I can't do this. And the Fifth Estate.
Speaking of country artists, going off in a totally another direction, I was really sorry to hear about Toby Keith. Also, I'm not a big country fan. I mean, I like country. There are some country songs I like, but I'm not your typical KVET listener.
Right.
You know, it's kind of like that.
Right.
But I always like Toby Keith for the sake, because you played my favorite of his.
Yeah.
I love that song.
Want to talk about me? Yeah.
Like, in your medical charts, it's Randy Starr.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Well, I'm a big country fan, but not today's country. I like, you know, 60s country. And just loved it.
When it had all that nice good sin in it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, 3D music, drinking, driving, and divorce. And
exactly
just,
right.
Just loved it. Yeah, every time somebody in Chicago talks about Linkin Park, I always think of Margie's at the Linkin Park Inn. But
oh, yeah. And my mom was really into, you know, and of course, I liked a lot of it, but, you know, I wouldn't admit it to my friends because, you know, if you liked country music when I was, you know, now you were, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You were really.
Yeah. Yes, a snuff queen in the making. Yes, no, I know. So, but, yeah, I just loved 60s country. But and when Billy Sherrill put strings on something and they called it Countrypolitan, I remember what an uproar that caused in Nashville. But I thought My Woman's Good to Me by David Houston was a masterpiece.
Good song.
Yeah. Yeah. He took a lot of hell for that.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
But, there's a lot of country stuff I like, but I'm not one to just sit and listen to country. But then I don't limit myself to genres. I like music or I don't like it.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. I absolutely feel the same way about that.
You know, if I like it, I like it. If I don't, I don't. And there are some some things that I won't go near. Like, I agree with you about opera. Forget it.
Forget it. It's a choreographed mass murder. Yeah.
Yeah. I told a friend of mine that who's an opera fan, and she did laugh.
Well, you can't. There's no way getting around it. It's an accurate description. All right. Well, John says I got to go to the news like right now. Talk to you soon. Okay, bye.
Okay, bye.
So on that note, we will go to the news on WGN Radio.
Yeah, I was always a crazy one. Broke into the stadium and I wrote your number on the 50-yard line. You were always a perfect one and a valedictorian. So under your number I wrote, call for a good time. I only wanted to get your attention, but you overlooked me somehow. Besides, you had too many boyfriends to mention, and I played my guitar too loud. How do you like me now? Now that I'm on my way, you still think I'm crazy standing here today. I couldn't make you love me, but I always dreamed about living in your radio. How do you like me now? When I took off to Tennessee, I heard that you made fun of me. Never imagined I'd make it this far. Then you married in the money, girl. Ain't it a cruel and funny world? He took your dreams and he tore them apart. He never comes home and you're always alone. And your kids hear you cry down the hall. Alarm clock starts ringing. Who could that be singing? It's me, baby. Would you wake up call? How do you like me now?
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. Yep, number one for 5 weeks, Toby Keith, and he co-wrote it. Yes, rest in peace. Hate saying that. But yeah, 68 chart records on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Pretty amazing stuff. Starting, his first record actually went to number one for 2 weeks. Should have been a cowboy on Mercury. Yeah, 1993. All right, so we got Joe in Bloomington. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, this is Joe in Bloomingdale, Illinois.
Yeah, Joe, thanks.
Yeah, and when I was a kid, I lived in Elmhurst, and me and my friends would, we had a cemetery there, and we would fish in the pond by the cemetery. But next to the pond, there was a cemetery dump, and the fence was broken so you could get into it, and it was really interesting because you'd go in there. And among the discarded flowers, there would be old tombstones from the 1800s, from people who died in the early 1900s.
Ooh.
And we always wondered, like, what did they do after 100 years? They don't take any families around. Do they actually take people out of the ground and then throw their tombstones?
That's right. In some cases, they do. And that's the thing that I think people don't realize. You know, they're told it's perpetuity, but it's really not. And different states have different laws about how long you must remain, you know, interred. But for a cemetery where the newest burial is over 100 years old, oh, man, that's endangered. They absolutely are not all protected. Some of them do become high-rises.
Yeah, so that makes me, you know, think that you just get cremated when you die, you know.
Absolutely. Well, you know, I plan to do that anyway because I don't really think I am my body, so to speak. I think I'm more than that, and I don't know that I'd want to have it preserved somewhere. You know, if somebody wants to, that's great, but not me.
Yeah. And one other thing I wanted to ask. About the Bob Crane radio. I listen to you on a Bose radio, and I can hear another station, kind of, you know, and it's not clear. And you said on a Bob Crane radio,
well,
it'll be cleared?
Well, no, here's the deal. You know, Bob Crane can't change the atmosphere. And so just like if the signal doesn't exist where you are, the radio won't pick it up. If the signal does exist, this radio will pick it up better than anything else. But when you're talking about you've got some crosstalk, you've got another station there, what's the other station, do you know?
I'm not sure. I assume it's the one next to it, like the sports station next to it, I'm thinking.
Well, yeah, if you're talking about that type of bleed over, like, say, a 710 to a 720, yeah, the Bob Crane radios are going to do a better job at it. But if you're talking about a harmonic or about something on the same frequency, it may actually make it worse. You know, it would depend. But if you're talking about something that's bleeding over on a different frequency, yeah, I would think that the C Crane radios would isolate it better than that.
Oh, and are they real expensive though? Compared,
it varies. It absolutely varies. You know, if you want like the CC Radio 2E, which I keep by my bedside, that radio is $179. But the radio that I keep in the kitchen, it's a slide rule dial. It's not digital. It's real old school. The EP Pro, that's under $100. So, they're comparably priced for what you get. But they're not going to be cheap. You know, the CC Pocket's only going to be about $70. But you're talking about a great small pocket radio. But if you're looking for great reception, it's better than anything else in its size. But I wouldn't recommend it particularly. For my bedside companions, I do like those. I like the CC2E, and John likes the CC Radio 3, and because he uses the Bluetooth for streaming audio and stuff like that. But if you don't care about Bluetooth, the 2E is all you need, and it's got AM, FM, and the weather band and weather alert, and it's got the 2-meter ham band, but frankly, I don't use it very often. It's got a clock and a dial light and an alarm and some presets. So it's got, the bells and whistles. And, I like it. I've put it next to the standard radio that's made today, and it'll blow it out of the water. But again, it's not going to pick up anything that doesn't exist over my head in some form. You know, it can't work miracles. But as far as isolating, I think if you are having crosstalk from an adjacent frequency, unless it's a bad operator who's just overmodulating to hell and back and you live close to the transmitter, that would be a different problem. But assuming it's not that, I think this would isolate it better. The nice thing about it is he'll take them back. You know, the C-Crane company will take them back. If you say, hey, I tried it, it doesn't work for me, fine, return it.
Oh, okay, yeah. Yeah, I was just wondering because I love your show and I listen to it every night when I get home from work at about 10:30 and I listen to your show, and I love the show. I just wish I didn't get that crossover.
Well, you are in an interesting area because there's something called the phase zone. And this happens with 50,000-watt stations at night. And you see, the reason a station like WGN, people at night in Cheyenne, Wyoming can hear it, or in Dallas, Texas, or whatever, that's skywave. That's the signal bouncing off the ionosphere layer and coming back to Earth at a distant place. Now, ground wave, like you hear in the day, is just coming from the WGN transmitter, going, pretty much almost line of sight. It's all along the ground. Now, at night, there is a zone where the ground wave and the skywave meet and cancel each other out. And it usually exists, depending upon the station, anywhere from about 50 to 150 miles from the transmitter. And so you being in Bloomingdale, you might be in that phase zone, which would make it tough at night. It would be atmosphere defending. Some nights you do better than others.
Yeah.
Yeah, well.
Yeah, so.
So you can't fix that. That's atmospheric. But the CC radio will do better than anything else. But like I say, it will not create a miracle.
Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Riley.
Oh, sure. Let me know how it goes if you order one. Thanks.
Okay. Bye.
Okay. Bye. And Bloomingdale is actually, probably closer to the GN transmitter. Now that I think about it, that might only be about 20 miles. So he shouldn't be in the phase zone. But man, night, all bets are off at night. So that's the joy of it when you get things way, way far away, and that's the hell of it when the ionosphere layer is working against you. And so, I like the stations where the frequencies, depending on which direction you you place the radio. Like, there's a couple sweet spots where on 800 you could hear X-Rock out of El Paso, or Radio Bon Air in the Lesser Antilles, or CKLW, depending upon, you know, how you oriented the radio. Or, you know, you're out on your porch, and John always laughs because literally almost went to my death with this. I was picking up a station, and a favorite song came on, and I wanted to hear it. And I'm leaning over, and, well, if I just go a little more this way and a little more that way, well, I was on the, like, the equivalent of, like, the 14th floor, and it was almost the end of me. It was the end of the radio. But that stuff happens. But, yeah, if you ever hear I've leapt to my death, no, just assume that what's happened, I was trying to pick up a station. Though there's less of that this day, sadly. Less reason to risk my neck these days than ever. But that's what I like about WGN. No matter when I turn it on, I get good programming. Yeah, unlike most talk stations where, man, on the weekends, one infomercial after another infomercial. Yeah, after a while, you just can't take it. 888-876-5593-8888 Raleigh on WGN Radio.
I need it when the moon is bright. I need it when you hold me tight. I need it in the middle of the night. I need your honey love. I want it when the lights are low. I want it just before you go. I want it because I love you so. Have a little mercy and give some
honey love.
Now throw your arms around me. Pretend that you're a loving dove. Now you squeeze. That's the honey love. I'm gonna get it in the morning sun. I'm gonna get it when the day is done. I'm gonna get it cause it's so much fun. I'm gonna get me some
honey love.
Yes, I love it cause it feels so fine. I love it,
I love
yes, it thrills my spine. I love it,
I love
cause you're mine, oh mine. I love your
honey love.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and we have another hour and, say, 10 minutes to spend together tonight. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. If not, we'll just read the tabloids. I was just reading about Cybill Shepherd's fling with Elvis. Yes, right. Yes, the sex lesson I taught Elvis. I'll just leave it right there if you want to read it. It's in this week's Examiner, and we have a number of other fascinating stories as well. That's right, slime from the checkout line. But Chris is in Greenville, South Carolina, and I think we'll talk to him instead. So, Chris, what's up tonight?
Hey, how's it going? I'm originally from Greenville, but I'm just vacationing in Greenville until Friday.
Oh, yeah? What happens then?
I'm with my aunt. She's got, like, a training session to do. I'm just here for a vacation.
Okay.
Just chilling.
All right.
I'm in downtown Greenville.
All right.
Yeah, y'all coming in real good and clear here in Greenville.
Good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, y'all was talking about, like, AM radio and stuff. Like, you can pick it up at night.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can pick up anything at night. Like, daytime, you can, but because, you know, like, the Skyway, you can pick up AM from, like, further from Chicago.
Of course.
You can't pick up an L.A. station from here.
No, there are some limitations. Now, by the way, before they broke up the clears with that 640 in Oklahoma City, you could, on a very weird night, catch some of KFI. I mean, it would happen, but not regularly with any, any consistency.
Right. Yeah, because I can tell you about these kids today, like GNZ. I'm going to tell you a little story about this. The kids today, like, that went from college downward, they don't know about regular TV. They don't know about cable TV. They don't know about broadcast TV, and they sure don't know about listening to AM radio.
No, of course not. But but you know, we're having a discussion about the delivery truck. What they do know is audio, and they know what they like. And believe me, if suddenly an AM station was broadcasting something that that a young person wanted to hear that wasn't available anywhere else, they'd find it. Content is king, much more so than where it's presented.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because they be on their phones mostly, and it's all streaming.
Well, right, right. But so they're you know, if
prestige.
If they scanned an AM dial, there wouldn't be anything that they wanted to hear, unfortunately. So it's I don't buy that it's because the dial position itself is, you know, suicidal. I think it's content. You scan the AM dial, and for the most part, what do you hear on it? And something that, you know, your young influencer who's glued to his phone and all that, nothing that he wants to hear.
Nope.
So,
and especially the oldie station, they don't care about. All they care about is the new age music.
Well, sure, because
FM radio.
Yeah, it's in a ratings game. You know, once you're over 54, they don't want you because the national advertiser isn't buying that. And so, a number of these things are dictated by trying to put packages together and sell national ads.
Uh-huh. So that's why you see all these infomercials on these TV stations.
Well, on radio as well, yeah. I've always said, a salesman who has sold an infomercial is like a dog who has tasted chicken. You really have to put them down because they're ruined. They're never going to sell anything again because if you're able to sell that half-hour infomercial, man, that's gravy. Now, of course, never mind that the programming is just horrible. That's why I say I love WGN because, you know, on a Saturday night, you're scanning that dial and you're hearing one infomercial after another, how I can get rich with gold, how I can get rich with stocks, how I'm, et cetera, and so forth. You know, what's wrong with me that the doctor's going to cure? On and on it goes. And then I come to WGN and I got Steve and Johnny. So needless to say, that's just nirvana. But, you know, back in the day, you'd have 10 different things from which to choose.
Yeah, because Saturday, because, you know, mostly it'd be infomercials, the home and garden shows, mm-hmm. and reruns of music. And on Sundays, they have church services.
Well, that's always been, you know, the God Squad on Sunday morning has always been lucrative for some stations. My favorite is there was a guy in Richmond who was a preacher and he died, and his family paid WRVA to continue to run this show for like 20 years because they were still getting the donations.
Wow, Richmond, Virginia.
Yep, WRVA.
Yeah, well, if you have shortwave, you know, there's another gospel called Brother Stair.
Oh, well, of course.
They play that on.
Of course.
It's called the Overcome Ministries.
Yeah.
And they're out of Walterboro, South Carolina.
Yeah, oh, absolutely. Now, when you start talking shortwave and a lot of these preachers, the list is seemingly endless.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Seemingly endless and all that stuff. And, you know, cable TV, it became a joke because it's expensive, that's one. And two, they play the same stuff over and over, like Law and Order SVU and all that.
Well, most of the cable companies do not want to focus on video any longer. They want to focus on broadband. They want to give you the signal that'll let you hear whatever you want in terms of streaming. The cable TV aspect of it is, with the retrans fees and everything else, really not their cup of tea. So when you hear commercials usually for a cable company, rarely is it, you know, buy our cable television. It's more get our internet.
Right. And, you know, you ever heard of public access channels on cable?
Oh, I used to love public access because it was so bad, it was wonderful.
Because you both boards and the music and then the live shows, and you know, they dropping down too.
Yeah.
Becoming popular anymore.
Well, yeah, I remember when I was in Austin, there was a kid who'd just gotten out of high school who started a public access show on Austin television, and it was Alex Jones, who later, of course, you know, went on to radio and shortwave and all that. But when I lived in L.A., long before Los Angeles was cabled everywhere, in Bel Air, we had something called Theta Cable, and it had public access. And because Freddie DeCordova lived in the neighborhood, everybody thought that if they got a public access show, they'd be booked on The Tonight Show. And one was worse than the next. And I would watch that and just howl. It was so bad, it was good. And to the best of my knowledge, I don't think any of them ever ever wound up, going further than public access. But sure, it's,
The thing about public access, sometimes people be prank calling on there.
And some of the UHF where they were selling the overnight shows and all that. You betcha. You've ended the night. Call me again soon. All right. On that note, we'll find out what's going on in the world at large, and we got another hour with you coming up on WGN Radio. WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James, and that was the first million seller for Sarah Vaughan. And it was interesting. It was a B-side in 1957 when she recorded it, ultimately released in 1959, and disc jockeys flipped it and, of course, became one of her biggest hits. Hal David wrote the lyrics, but Burt Bacharach did not write the music. It was Sherman Edwards, actually. It was long before the David and Bacharach combo there. It was Sarah's first song to receive a Grammy nomination, and it was interesting because the Grammys were new. That would be the second annual Grammy Awards, and the best part is her nomination. Best performance by a top 40 artists. I kid you not. And she didn't. I don't know who won. I should probably look that up. That was on Mercury, and entered the charts in September of 59. It was there for 11 weeks. It made the top 5 on the R&B charts, top 10 on the pop charts. So it was Robert and Stickney who wanted to hear that. All right. So John is in Covington. John, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Raleigh. I just wanted to. I've done this before, but I got to do it again. Sing the praises of My Crane Radio. I have the 2E.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, the main reason I've had it for like 9 months now, and yes, it is $179, but I can guarantee you one thing. It probably will be the last radio I ever buy.
Yeah.
It's that good.
Yeah.
And now, just let me, how do I say this? Okay, like, I love college basketball. Well, I have satellite radio, so they're going to give me the SEC, the Big Ten, the major conferences.
Mm.
However, they're not going to give me the, mid-major conferences.
Right.
And how do I say this without coming off like Brett Maverick or something? There's money to be made legally now, betting basketball, and...
Sure.
I can tune in. It's amazing. This radio is amazing. I can tune in and I can get the LaSalle Explorers from Philadelphia. I can get the Dayton Flyers, WHIO.
Sure.
Like it was nothing. I've even gotten as far as I like Boise State basketball team. I've even gotten, that's 2,000 miles away, Raleigh, and I've even, not every night, but on a good night, yes, I've gotten off the 2E, Boise, Idaho.
Right.
I can't say enough about it. And people out there, if Raleigh and John didn't believe in it, they wouldn't be talking about it. That's really all I got to say, Raleigh. God bless you.
Well, that's great. I'm fascinated that you're getting KBOI when you realize 670. There's so many things that you should be getting instead of that. That's just fascinating. Like WSCR in Chicago. That should that should be drowning it out.
I think, you know what I think a lot of it is? Maybe I'm not getting actually the Boise, Idaho. I'm getting probably, this is my guess, an affiliate that carries the Boise State.
Okay.
You see what I'm saying?
Yes, absolutely. And it could be anything.
I think that's what it is.
Could be anything. It could be something weird like KRVN in Lexington, Nebraska. You just never know.
Right. And the other thing, too, is the FM. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Miami of Ohio, the college, it's only about 50 miles away from me, okay?
Right.
I could never get it before. Now it comes in clear as can be. And not only that, you won't even realize how many FM signals you couldn't get that you can now get.
Right,
it's
that's
amazing.
True. That's true. You betcha. All right, well, I'm glad you like it. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, talk to you soon. So, a lot of stuff. But I'd be surprised about KBOI. I think it's now the score. The old MAQ would probably stop you from that. But, hey, stranger things that happen, you know, like I say. Lean out the window, turn the radio in a different direction. You just never know what'll happen. But I guess it depends from where you are sitting. And, after all, he's in Covington, Kentucky, so maybe, possible, I guess. Robert is in Stickney. Welcome back to WGN Radio.
Yeah, Raleigh. Boy, that was really something. I called just before the midnight news, and the first thing I heard was my request.
Well, good.
Wow. Yeah. Now, I have just a couple of very short stories about two re-recordings.
All right.
And these are not requests. I wouldn't ask these of you. But I was wondering if you knew a little bit about the background story. The first one is from way back, like, in the 40s. And it was, I don't know if it was rumored or if it was a true story. They said the people who heard this got so depressed that they were jumping out of windows and stuff. It was a song called Gloomy Sunday.
Yeah, and you know, I've heard that, you know, that depression stuff in the 50s. And by the way, a lot of people have done that, but Billie Holiday, probably the definitive version of that on Columbia. But you'd be surprised how many people have done Gloomy Sunday. But I'm trying to think of that horrible death record in 55 that everybody was, Death of an Angel. Oh, my God. Everybody was saying that. The only reason I think you'd commit suicide listening to Death of an Angel is because you had to listen to Death of an Angel. So I didn't think there was any other reason, but that was, supposedly the case. Donald Wood and the Velairs was Death of an Angel. I have no idea, but I would doubt it. But that's been covered by everybody and their brother.
Oh, probably, in regards to Gloomy Sunday, it might have been the straw that broke the camel's back kind of thing. The people were depressed to begin with, you know.
Well, I don't know. Artie Shaw had a version of it. You know, I mean, a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Paul Robeson, the guy who was the communist. I know that's a terrible thing to say, but he was. He was absolutely, an outspoken communist. Yeah. But Paul Robeson had a version of that. Billy Stewart, not the same Billy Stewart on Savoy had a version. That's what I mean. It was one of those things that everyone and their uncle had Gloomy Sunday.
Oh, I see.
I don't know that anybody went to their death, but like I say, maybe having to hear it could do it. I don't know.
Yeah, like most stories, it just snowballs after a while.
Right,
right. Yeah.
Yeah, but no, that was, a lot of well-known acts did that. Paul Robeson did it in 1936.
Oh, wow.
So this goes way back.
Yeah, well, and the second one was, I know the artist to this one, and it's, I don't know why he would want to even record something like this. I think it was condemned right away. It was done by Buddy Knox, and it was, I think it was Buddy Knox, a song, and the title of it was, I Think I'm Gonna Kill Myself.
Right. Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, you know,
it was on Roulette. It was on Roulette. The flip side was To Be With You. That was 1959. Yeah. And Buddy Knox did some good stuff. Some of it wasn't really a hit, but I thought Somebody Touch Me was just a killer record. But he had some interesting things. But yeah, I Think I'm Gonna Kill Myself was Buddy Knox. And, if he wasn't gonna kill himself, I guess Moish Levy might have been ready to kill him. But I,
you would think after.
It's an oddity. Since you're talking about it and other people are saying, what the hell is that? Let me let you hear a little of Buddy Knox and I Think I'm Gonna Kill Myself. Bop a tooty papa, bop a tooty papa, bop a tooty papa, bop a bop a bop. So long,
so long, to you,
to you.
I hope I don't make you blue, but I think I'm gonna kill myself. I think I'm gonna kill myself.
Apart,
we've gone, and I can't go on alone. So I think I'm gonna kill myself. I think I'm gonna kill myself. Now dig my grave with a silver spade. Golden chain, lay me down to town. Send my remains to my best friend. Yeah, the rest to my hole in the ground. Mm-hmm. The rest to my hole in the ground.
He wrote it, too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, wow. Yeah. The only line I remember was... dig my grave with a silver spoon.
Right, exactly. It was clearly not a hit.
Oh, I figured it wouldn't chart. Yeah, and with the FCC was so strict at that time. I was surprised they even played it. You know, yeah.
I don't think they would have cared that much about that.
Oh, really?
No,
oh,
it would have. Yeah. It would have. You know, it would have had to be a real furor. I mean, granted, the FBI investigated Louie Louie, and they couldn't figure any four-letter words other than boat and things like that, but...
of course, yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But no,
yeah,
I...
Louie Louie, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Just one more thing before I go. I just have one request. It's a song... It wasn't that... I don't think it was that big by the Platters, but... I always liked it. It was called On My Word of Honor.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's their pop standard period.
Oh, is it? Oh,
The Mercury stuff. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Okay.
As opposed to Music or Federal.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
I like the Federal stuff, which was doo-wop, and the Music Core stuff, which a lot of beach music. But I'll tell you, the money was in that Mercury stuff, though. I didn't want to hear it. But I'll look for it for you.
Yeah. Oh, okay, Rob. Nice talking to you.
All right. Thanks for calling. Yeah. Appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
Yeah. I mean, you know, the Platters, when they did Vuviabi, I mean, that to me was just delight. And then, of course, later on Musicore, who doesn't like I Love You 1,000 Times? But all that, you know, Buck Ram Mercury stuff. But he was right. It was a hit. And, of course, as I've mentioned many times, Mercury took the Platters kicking and screaming. They didn't want them, but they had to take them to get the Penguins. And then, of course, the Penguins never had another hit, and the Platters had nothing but hits. So turned out to be a good thing they were forced to do for their bottom line anyway. Dorothy is in Oak Brook. Welcome to WGN Radio, Dorothy. Dorothy gave up. Broken Cemeteries was going to be the title. Thank you for trying, Dorothy. I hope you will again. And we've got James on the south side, the perpetrator of, 4 zillion stories. We'll get to some of them coming up. And we also do have the tabloids. That's right. A lot of royal news, obviously, with the king announcing his cancer diagnosis. So we don't know what kind. They haven't gone that far yet. We know it's not prostate because that's when they found it. He was in there having some benign prostate thing, and they, oh, by the way, you got cancer, but probably did catch it very early. And meanwhile, William's wife, Kate, has had surgery. That was not cancer, but it was some kind of abdominal thing that will keep her laid up for apparently a few months, they say. I don't know. Hope she's milking it for all it's worth. So I played Honey Love, and that was for Jukebox Jack. That wasn't the only thing he requested. He requested Arthur Lyman. No, not Yellowbird. Don't worry. So absolutely not. Love for Sale, 1963 on Half Hour Records. We'll play it coming up on WGN Radio. I'm Raleigh James. That is Arthur Lyman, Polynesian Hawaiian vibraphone player, of course known for Yellowbird, but did a lot of nice jazzy stuff. He actually created a musical style they called exotica, Afro-Cuban ribbons and jungle animal sounds and things like that. But Love for Sale came out in 1963, and that was on Hi-Fi Records, which was an interesting little label. That was the guy who also owned Arvy. So was it Richard Vaughn, Robert Vaughn? His initials were RV, hence RV Records, you know, that the Olympics were on. But yeah, Hi-Fi Records. And yeah, Richard Vaughn, pretty sure. So that was interesting. Like I say, he had RV as well. And then Arthur Lyman was also on Gene Norman's label, GNP Crescendo. Yeah, quite the act, and been dead, gosh, about 20 or so years, died around 70 years old. And Love for Sale was a fine song, and Jukebox Jack wanted to hear it. That came out in 1963, and I thought, sure, I don't mind playing that. And there were a number of things like that he did. You know, like I say, sadly known for Yellowbird and pretty much nothing else. But there were a number of things he did that were just great. He had an interesting version of Cast Your Fate to the Wind, for instance. A lot of people don't remember that. And The Shadow of Your Smile. He did some he did Lemon Tree too, but we're not gonna talk about that. We're just gonna move directly on. All right, to talk to James on the South Side. How's it going, James?
How are you doing?
Well, I can't complain. Thank you for all the 9 zillion stories. I see we did quite a bit on Porno Queens in the last couple days. Porno Queens behaving badly, kicked out of comedy shows. Lisa Ann, the adult actress, was in handcuffs, forcibly removed from a comedian's performance at Radio City Music Hall. And she's accused of using the phone to tape it. And she's, I was not doing that. Who knows? And then the other one we had, sadly, was the story about the adult film star Emily Willis, who was in critical condition following an overdose. But of course, I'm sure you reached the same conclusion I did. She started in the porno industry in 2017 and has made over 700 movies in which she starred. Busy girl. So meanwhile, I guess.
And unfortunately, unfortunately, this seems to be a recurring theme. Unfortunately, in that particular industry. Mm. I came across I think there was there was several YouTube things that had listed a whole bunch of ones who had passed for different. Mm. And unfortunately, let's put it this way. As an overdose is one thing, AIDS, suicide, murder. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Quite a bit of that. Hang on a minute. Yeah, murder is a big one. Hang on. Don't go away. Stay right where you are. We'll pick it up right there on the tawdry side of the entertainment industry. But right now we'll go to the tawdry side of the news. Well, the news anyway on WGN Radio.
Ladies, as you can see, I'm an old man. And as an old man, I don't need very much. A little water every once in a while, a sandwich now and then, and no sex. But now there's one thing that I do require, and that is a little conversation every now and then. So to keep me happy, just talk to me. Talk to me. Oh, I love the things you say. Talk to me. Talk to me in your own sweet, gentle way. Let me hear, tell me, dear, tell me you love me so. Talk to me.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James. That's Jimmy Burns, and it was Sam from Gurney who wanted me to play that. Talk to Me. It was coming out in 96 on Delmark, and the album was Leaving Here Walking. And Jimmy Burns was originally from Mississippi, but pretty much grew up in Chicago and stayed there. And is as far as I know, still with us, 80 years old, and has a birthday in a couple weeks. But he did that, and I thought it was a terrific song. So, of course, you know, I love Talk to Me anyway, you know, from the original Little Willie John through everybody else. But Jimmy Burns did it proud. So we're talking to James from the South Side about, of all things, porn stars behaving badly. And it's interesting because, of course, there can be big money in this. But sadly, you know, the amount of people who die in tawdry, complex circumstances is far too many, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you want to basically ask, okay, if you're getting in, okay, beware of a whole lot of things. Stay away from drug dealers because they hang around quite unfortunately, and overdoses are including, I think there was one year, I'm trying to remember which year it was. Like, I heard that there was like eight overdoses with this, something like that in one year.
Oh, there, yeah, that 2017 and 2018, there were like a spate of deaths, and not only overdoses, but yeah, and you had mentioned murder, and that that occurred as well. You do hear articles about people who were able to get out alive, so to speak, and have basically dull, boring, normal lives. But it's more more the exception than the rule.
Yeah, in fact, I think probably one of the more later ones you have to deal with, one who's probably was one of the most recognizable faces of it, where
I guess we could call him Ron Jeremy, at least.
Oh,
that
well, yeah, Ron
Jeremy.
No, Ron, yeah. And he was a caricature of himself, not to, you know, to say the least. But there were, and he embraced it wholeheartedly, needless to say. But, yeah, when you read the number of movies, especially some of these young women and really basically girls, I mean, they're of age, but barely, you know, it's no wonder by the time they're 25, they've aged out of this. It was interesting that we had in one day the one kicked out of the comedy show and the other one sadly on life support. We have another McDonald's lawsuit. I noticed McDonald's in New York almost killed a man supposedly. It's a lot more boring than you'd think. Said not for him obviously, but apparently
he had a Mac attack and it wasn't good.
No, anaphylactic shock, and it was a stray slice of American cheese that wasn't supposed to be on his Big Mac. And so, of course, needless to say, there are lawyers out the yin yang wanting to sue for this. So but apparently there is one franchiser, I won't mention any names, you know, because you read the article, but who has hundreds of McDonald's franchises, and they are like in court with alarming regularity. Patrons claim they've been assaulted by employees, attacked by teenage moms, racially profiled, pummeled in the face by a crew member, and it's just like, oh man, give it up, you know. So
I almost want to basically say, okay, I almost expect, okay, if I walk into one of those, I expect to hear Garth Brooks, "I Have Friends in Lowly Places."
Yes, exactly, low places. You betcha. And of course, you know, your stories are usually resplendent with royal stories, but now with King Charles ailing, everything's come out of the closet, and I don't care what your conspiracy is, it's all there already. The tabloids are just cranking it out in overdrive.
Yeah, and really, here's and now, of course, where he actually stood in for Meghan Markle's father and walked her down. I mean, you kind of get the feeling that Charles has like been kind of put through the wringer a little too much.
Yeah,
and really, if anybody deserves a break,
Yeah,
but unfortunately, there's the problem is that then now that sparked a hot rumor that he may have to give up it to William, and William's like thinking, oh no, I'm not this way.
Right, exactly. He's saying, Kate's sick anyway. I'm too busy. Yeah, right. So no shortage of those stories. Now, American Airlines is asking a judge to dismiss their participation in they want to be dropped from a lawsuit. And apparently nobody is denying that a former American Airlines flight attendant allegedly filmed multiple children in airplane bathrooms. The airline just doesn't want to be part of it. And I say to myself, no, you're the deep pockets. You're not going anywhere. But I also...
That's the reason,
Of course it is. But I also wondered, if it's a case where this person has allegedly filmed multiple children, he can't be the only one who knows it.
Yeah, and I'm like thinking, okay, I really, guess what? I have a feeling if, let's say... one of those action stars who really kind of like really gets peeved about stuff would have been on the plane.
Oh, man.
I'm just thinking Jean-Claude Van Damme, he might have been on life support.
Yeah,
afterwards.
Well, it'd be certainly an interesting flight. That's for sure. So as always, a wonderful group of stories, including headlines like Canada slows plans to kill people due to lack of doctors. I won't even go there. The headline alone was enough for me.
Yeah, I read it and I said, really? Okay. I'm beginning to think part of this, truth, maybe, but part of it is kind of like hyperinflation.
Well, it's also, you know, headline sell and all that. It becomes a political quagmire. But likewise, another headline, I'm married with two children, but I don't know who their dad is. I want a third child, but it won't be my husband's. Please don't judge me. No, of course not. Who would think of that? Yes.
And I'm like thinking, the only problem you have to, just hope that if they need something that you, that they can come to you for, like if they need a transplant or something like that. Otherwise, this is going to end badly for them.
Well, don't worry. I don't think it exists. It's from the sun. Anyway. All right.
Yeah.
I appreciate all the stories, and thank you.
Oh, and I enjoyed. Thank you for the song, sorry, the opening song.
Oh yes, my pleasure. Glad you heard it.
Okay. You take care.
You too.
Bye.
So 888-876-5593. If you want the final word, it's interesting. I've got, as I say, a fresh crop of tabloids, and this week's Inquirer has Kate's cancer ordeal. Of course, it turns out it's not cancer, but before they knew about Charles, who will, of course, replace her in the headlines for the next month, they were coming all unglued that it was Kate. It's not Kate. All right, so 888-876-5593 on WGN Radio.
Marching through that door, I hope you get what you want and you want what you're wishing for. I hope you get what you want and you want what you're wishing for. And when you get what you want, thank your lucky star.
WGN Radio, I'm Raleigh James, and that is Birthday Boogie. Louis Jordan, 1951 on DECA. Cleveland Dennis had requested we play that, and my pleasure to do so. Just to wrap up this Sun article, and this is why I say, don't worry, this is not for real. She wanted a child, but she wasn't sold on having a partner, so she decided to do it alone. How exactly does that work? I don't even want to know. All right, so Don and Beloit, welcome to WGN Radio.
Hey, Riley, how you doing? I'm sorry, I've been listening to your show a lot, but I was going to call in late tonight. How you doing?
All right, what's going on?
Well, I would like to throw this out as a theme for maybe tomorrow night or some of the nights coming up or whatever, but I really liked your program a few weeks ago when, if you recall, you had so many, I thought, odd callers calling in about, You can do the background, but the, when the Beatles released their first album compared to when they released their second album, and that, of course, Electric Ed Sullivan Show, and why, you had a great question, like, why did this suddenly happen for the second album?
Well, it wasn't really for the second album. It was the Meet the Beatles and Introducing the Beatles came out simultaneously. It was singles before that in this country. It wasn't albums. There was no album involved. But the question again, is timing. And I think there's a number of factors. One caller, talked about Capitol's promotion, and certainly that's a factor, but it's not the be all and end all factor. Or you could promote anybody to that level. But I do think the sociological connection, you know, the times and Kennedy being dead and, you know, a lot of other things going on. Who knows? It's timing is everything, to say the least. But in terms of their music, it clearly changed dramatically. What the Beatles did for the record industry is incomparable. They should be knighted for it. And that's prior to the Beatles, rock and roll albums never sold. You were talking about very few of them. So it was a singles world. It was a small businessman's venture and, you know, never made much money. And you'd look, the number one top 40 record might be The Twist, and the number one album is the theme from South Pacific, you know, things like this. And so the Beatles changed that virtually overnight. Night. Kids went out and paid their $2.99 or $3.99 in stereo for Meet the Beatles or Introducing the Beatles, and that really started the idea of buying albums, and that was an absolute game changer for the record industry.
Yeah. I think topic for another show, but I looked into this, and I knew a lot of people that grew up around that era, and I think they appeal to so many different age groups, you know, that each had their own little reason for following them and everything. But to say quick, my theory, my Raleigh theory is three things: the hair, the album cover, and definitely the music. And I think the hair, people wrote about this. They didn't care what the hell they sang. They just wanted to see what these guys were wearing and their crazy hair, you know,
the mop tops.
And I think
I think
the second album, the album cover on the second album, is the second set of songs, like you said,
What are you calling the second album? Because see, there were two that came out simultaneously. Capitol did Meet the Beatles, and VJ did Introducing the Beatles.
Well, I looked at this, and I thought the second one was, for the U.S., was a little bit after the first one. I'm sorry. The one that happened right before the Ed Sullivan show.
Well, you're probably talking about the Capitol album. But regardless, I think there's so many factors, and anybody who says they have the definitive answer doesn't, because if they did have the definitive answer, they could repeat it. And, you know, it's so funny, because when Elvis was so big, everybody was looking for the next Elvis. Never occurred to any of them that the next Elvis would be the Beatles. And it's just like in talk radio, everybody looking for the next Rush Limbaugh. Well, it won't be somebody like Rush Limbaugh, just like the Beatles weren't like Elvis. So,
just to quickly wrap this up, I think the first one, the first album, sorry, is a pop album. And the second one was way more like their Hamburg roots, is much more of a rock album. And that's what the kids and the older girls and boys want. They wanted a rock album. And the second one was a rock album.
I would have to know what you mean by first and second. I need album titles, because to me, it's not first and second. So,
interesting.
The early albums were mostly rehashes of our R&B. You know, and then they had that little black and white movie in 64 and all that stuff. But, you know, it is what it is. But as I say, the contribution they made is they started teens buying albums, and that made the record industry big business, and that changed the world.
Yeah. So, I'm so glad I got a chance to talk to you, and I'll call you in tomorrow.
Okay, thanks. Appreciate it.
All right. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Yeah, so, but the really early Beatles stuff were, you know, good little poppy records. Even the stuff they wrote themselves, I thought they were just terrific for my taste. But as you got a little further on, they left me behind. But that's okay. What's interesting is how relatively short a lifespan they had, because you're talking about, you know, they come with a vengeance in 64 and they're broken by 70, you know, so you're talking about 6 years of current product. So it's not a lot, but again, it absolutely changed the landscape as far as selling albums. But yeah, so introducing the Beatles, you know, technically, I guess it'd be the first, that's the VJ album, because VJ had them on Tolly, and then Meet the Beatles, the big one, the Capitol push. And then the Beatles' second album would be the third album. Maybe that's the one that that Don is talking about, which technically would be the third album. And then, of course, was the original soundtrack from Hard Day's Night, which was a U8 deal, and on it goes. So tomorrow night, it is an abbreviated show because there is a ball game, and I will be on after it. And so Carol keeps me in line, lets me know what I'm doing. And yes, around midnight central. So yes, right at the wee bitching hour, I will appear after Blackhawks hockey. So probably around midnight. And then Thursday is a full show. Now, next week, next Tuesday, around 11 o'clock Central, and likewise for next Thursday. So tomorrow night, check me out after the Wee Bitchin' Hour, and we'll have about an hour to talk. If it's on, it'll be a stealth show, so to speak. If it's on your mind, it'll be on mine. And then a full show on Thursday. So these shows are really easy to do when you call, so I am indebted to those of you who did. Now, in the waning moments, let's see if I can give you some other slime from the checkout line. Bare Knuckles Showdown, Obama tells Dazed Joe, it's time to go. Taylor and Travis call off the wedding. Never mind, there was never an announcement of engagement, but they've called off the wedding. That'll change again. We have Sophia's Cocaine Terror, and I'm saying, who the hell is Sophia? Oh, Sophia Vergara. Apparently, fear cartel killers are after. All right, well, very good. Clint Eastwood passing the reins to Tom? Yeah, apparently so. Yeah. Willingly? Yes, Tom Cruise. All right, well, you know, there you have it. So that's from this week's Inquirer. But like I say, we've got the Globe, we've got the Examiner, we've got them all. And in the meantime, that pretty much is a wrap. I know you're saying not a moment too soon. We thank Adam for keeping us on the air and John for screening your call. But above all, as I'm saying, I thank you for calling. So let's do it again tomorrow right at the Wee Bitching Hour. Until then, I'm Raleigh James. It's WGN Radio.